without him, our souls will become like Alice's pet, starving in a crowded cage. You can crowd your life with all sorts of things, but without Jesus, your soul is starving. We are all living our lives today centered on something, but is it the right thing? What are you living for today? What is your life centered on? And I want to say this morning, because the tomb is empty and Jesus is alive, because of this, I want to say to you that the right thing is life in Jesus Christ. So this Easter Sunday morning, I want to call you to surrender to the risen Lord. Surrender. Now, there's a word that's not very popular. It implies losing. And no one wants to be a loser. We have the current pictures of the Iraq war in our mind with the surrender of the enemy. Surrender evokes unpleasant images of admitting defeat in battle, forfeiting a game, or yielding to a stronger opponent. The word almost always is used in a negative context. Captured criminals surrender to the authorities. In today's competitive culture, we are taught never to give up or never to give in. So we don't hear much about surrendering. If winning is everything, surrendering is unthinkable. Here this morning, the great Easter truth, the great spiritual paradox, the greatest victory in all of the history of mankind is the empty tomb. Jesus rose victorious and conquered our greatest enemy, death. Jesus is the winning, victorious, risen Lord. Now here's the Easter truth. Here's the great spiritual paradox. The pathway to victory is surrender. The pathway, the way that we get to this victory, the greatest victory in all of the world, the pathway to that is surrender. Winning in life today, that is a soul that is not starved, but fulfilled, even in the midst of problems and hardship. Winning in life today comes from surrender to Jesus. Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." Winning in life tomorrow, when in death we leave this earth. Winning comes when we surrender to Jesus and our souls live on because he gives us eternal life. Now this morning, all of us here today are living our lives centered on something. And the question before us is it the right thing? Because the tomb is empty and Jesus is alive and victorious, because he proved in his resurrection that he is true, because of this, I say to you this morning that the right thing is life in Jesus Christ. So surrender. Surrender to Jesus. This is the pathway, the only pathway to victory. Consider with me this morning, first of all, some reasons to surrender, and then secondly, some responses to surrender. Would you take your Bibles and turn with me to our text this morning, Matthew chapter 28. We're going to begin reading at verse 1. It's found on page 989 in the Pew Bible in front of you. We begin at verse 1 of Matthew 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord had come down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. Number one this morning, reasons to surrender. The first reason is that Jesus has power for the needs of your life. Look at the women in verse 5. They were afraid. The angel may have startled them. What's going on, they're thinking. First, their leader dies, and now the body is gone. All sorts of concerns and needs were probably going through these women. Fear, hopelessness, sadness, confusion. What are the needs and concerns in your life today? Now, real life, when we're honest, real life is not easy. We all have needs and concerns. Personally, I'm struggling with all of the, and let me just underline this, all of the good demands of ministry today. And sometimes it gets overwhelming and gets me down. What are you struggling with? Be honest. We all struggle. What is it for you today? Fear? Anxiety? Loneliness? Guilt? Depression? Hurt? Temptation? With the economy today, you find your job in jeopardy. You're in a strained, fractured relationship with a spouse or a child or a friend. You have health issues, cancer, chronic pain. You grieve over the loss of a loved one. You battle temptation and you're losing to pornography or to alcohol. I've said it before and I'll say it again. If life is smooth sailing for you today, just wait. The weather is going to change. And storms are going to come up in your life. We all have storms. What are your storms today? What are your needs and concerns today? He is not risen. He is risen. He is not here. The angel said to the woman, he's not here. If there was a period there, and that was the end of the story, we would be left to our own finite resources to deal with all of our needs. But it's not period, end of the story, he's not here. He's not here, and it goes on because he is risen. He is risen. The stone was blown away, and Jesus was raised from the dead. Here is power. See it with me. Resurrection power, the greatest demonstration of power in all of the world. Think of other demonstrations of power, the power of creation, the power of a hurricane or a tornado, the power of an atom bomb, the power of a nation and its vast armies, the power of a Fortune 500 company. Far greater than these demonstrations of power is the greatest demonstration of power, the power to conquer death. Resurrection power. The power that raised Jesus from the dead. The power that broke the chokehold of death on all mankind. Look on the screen behind me from Ephesians chapter 1. His incomparably great power for us. Another translation says, in us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. This power, this resurrection power, hear me today, according to God's word here from Ephesians, is for us. And as another translation says, it's in us. We are not left powerless in our needs. We are not left to our self-sufficiency in our needs. Whatever the need is today, whatever the storm is that you are in, the resurrection tells us and declares to us today that God has power to deal with it. Now, I'm not saying that he will necessarily take the need away, but he will give you the power to deal with it. Paul says in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And what kind of strength is Christ going to give you? Paul has told us it's resurrection power in us that he's going to strengthen us with. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in all of your weakness. Put there in your weakness, your needs, your concerns, the storms that you're in right now. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly in these needs, these weaknesses, these storms, these problems that I'm going through, so that Christ's power may rest upon me. Here it is this morning. The sufficiency of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. His power, His strength, His grace is sufficient for whatever your need is. Name the need, name the storm right now. What is going on in your life? His power, resurrection power, is for you. It's totally sufficient for you. There is nothing that is greater than resurrection power. There is nothing that resurrection power can't deal with. It has demonstrated itself by conquering the greatest foe. And we celebrate today what Paul is saying is that that power, that resurrection power, is for us. It's in us. But you must surrender first to Jesus Christ. A second reason, Jesus keeps His promises to you. Look at verse 6. He is not here. He is risen, just as He said. The resurrection is not only a demonstration of power, but it is also a demonstration of truth. The resurrection is the proof, the verification that Jesus is right, that He is true. If there is no resurrection, then Jesus would be the greatest liar of all mankind. But He is alive. This proves in His resurrection that all of His claims are true. Now, a few years ago, Time or Newsweek magazine's lead article was on the influence of Jesus over the centuries. And I quote from this Newsweek article, 2,000 years later, the centuries themselves are measured from the birth of Jesus. Why? Why this impact on countless people over the centuries? Why do we celebrate Christmas and Easter? Why do we measure our calendar by Jesus? Because Jesus is truth. He validates all of His claims in the resurrection. His is the only empty tomb. The resurrection, hear me, is the ultimate proof that He is absolute truth, that He is reliable, and that He's right. It happened just as He said that it would. He keeps His promises just as He said that He would. Now, He has comforting promises for us today in our times of need. Here again, some of them. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He keeps His promises. My peace I give to you. He keeps His promises. My grace is sufficient for you. He keeps His promises. Take comfort in these promises. Jesus keeps them. But Jesus also has some confronting promises. And I want you to hear one of them today. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Because Jesus kept His word, and the resurrection happened just as He said, you can count on it, you can bank on it. If Jesus says it will happen, it will happen. He says, He promises that there will be judgment. The truth of Jesus' word is that if we are not in Him, we will be judged to the eternal punishment of hell. Here's why we celebrate Christmas and Good Friday and Easter. Here's why these holidays are so important. Hear me. Because God doesn't want anyone to punish and live in His judgment of hell. He doesn't want anyone to perish in this judgment. So He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth so that one day He could die on the cross for your sins and my sins. On the cross of Good Friday, Jesus took our sin. He took God's wrath and punishment for our sins. He died for your sins and for my sins. And He offers to us forgiveness of our sins and a new life. He provides the only solution for judgment. He doesn't want anyone to perish. So He made a solution. He becomes our forgiver. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. God made a solution. The solution is in Jesus. But you must surrender. So today, surrender to Jesus, the risen Lord. Accept his free gift of salvation. It is in Jesus that you have eternal life. Are you in Jesus today? Is your life centered on him? The right thing in life. All of our lives are centered on something. Is your life centered on the right thing? Jesus Christ. Surrender to him. Now, this isn't about mere intellectual assent and belief, that you believe with your mind in Jesus. The Bible says that the demons do that. It's not about good works, that my good will outweigh my bad and God's going to accept me. God has no scales in heaven. Your good won't work to escape judgment. It's not good enough. It's about surrender. Surrender your life to Jesus. Let him be your only Savior and Lord. Let him be the forgiver and leader of your life. Surrender. Now let me give you a third reason why we should surrender. Jesus has a pathway for you. Look at verse 7 in our text. He has risen from the dead and he is going, notice what it says, ahead of you. The resurrection is not only about power and truth, it's also about life. Power, truth, and life. Jesus makes a pathway for life, for living. He is the go-ahead God. He blazes the trail, he makes the path, and says, follow me. I'll show you the way to live. Remember a few years ago, the animated movie, The Prince of Egypt, the Old Testament story of the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt? In that story, God goes ahead of Israel, and he shows them the way. He leads them. By day, it's a cloud that leads them. And by night, it's a pillar of fire that leads them. Jesus goes ahead of us. He makes the path. He leads us. He shows us how to live. As a young teenager growing up in the tropics, we were always exploring new swimming holes, new swimming places that people would tell us about. Often we would come to these new places and there was a cliff that you needed to jump off of to get into the water, into the river, or into the lake. And as we stood on top of this cliff, it was scary. And the big question was, who's going to jump first? Finally, somebody went and jumped in. And now the rest of us would go and follow and jump in. And it wasn't so scary because someone had already been in the water. Jesus has been there. He is the go-ahead God. He has been through death. He has been tempted in every way, just as we have, the scripture says. He has tasted hardship and pain and suffering. He is the God of all wisdom. He knows what is best and what's right. He, hear me, Jesus Christ has been through all of life. He has a pathway for life for you today. And he's leading the way. He's blazing the trail. He knows where to go. He knows how to live. He goes ahead of us. So with Jesus, we can face the uncertainties of the future ahead of us with its difficulties and its challenges. But we must surrender. Jesus is going ahead of us. So let's surrender to him. Let's follow him. Let's walk his pathway. Let's follow his lead. It's the best way, the right way. This morning, if you've gotten off the path, if you've taken some detours, surrender to Jesus and get back on his pathway of life for you. He knows where to go. He knows how to live life. So let me say to you this morning, here are three compelling reasons to surrender to Jesus, the risen Lord. Number one, he has power for your needs. Number two, he keeps his promises to you. And number three, he has a pathway for you. Consider today these compelling reasons. Why should I surrender to Jesus Christ today? Consider three compelling truths about Jesus' resurrection. Power, truth, and life. Where else? Where else are you going to find power, truth, and life? Power to deal with your needs in life. truth about what life really looks like and a pathway to tell you, here's how we live real life. You want power, truth, and life? Well, then you must surrender. You must surrender to the risen Lord. Now look with me, number two, at some responses to surrender in our text. Matthew chapter 28, we pick it up at verse 8. The women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee where they will see me. And while the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. And when the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, you are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. There are two responses to this Easter story: the guards' resistance and the women's reverence. And so there are also two responses here this morning, 2003. Two responses to the Easter story that you are hearing. We are either resisting Jesus today, or we're reverencing him in surrender. Look at the guards. Have you ever been given a bad job and wonder what you did to deserve this? The guards were given a second shift job to guard a dead man. There was a stone over the tomb. It said that that stone was a foot thick and weighed in the thousands of pounds. And I can imagine the guards saying, why this job? The guards were given a dramatic wake-up call. Verses 2 and 3, a violent earthquake. The stone is rolled away. The angel's appearance is like lightning. And verse 4 says the guards are afraid and that they shook like they were dead men. I want you to know that God continues 2,000 years later to issue wake-up calls. God lovingly pursues us. He desires a relationship with us. That's why he gives us wake-up calls. He wants us to get us to move towards him. He gives wake-up call to each person here today. If you're a seeker, consider the claims of Christ and follow him. If you are a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, get to know him better. Know more of his power, his truth, his life, his holiness, his wisdom. For his wake-up calls, God often uses hardship in our lives. Trials, crisis, heartaches. Now, Satan may cause these, or they may be caused by just living in this fallen world, but God always uses those hardships, those places of pain and difficulty in our lives as a wake-up call so that we can move closer to him. Now, God also may use as a wake-up call a strategically placed person in your life. There's just this right person in your life that either encourages you, challenges you, or leads you. God may use as a wake-up call in your life massive doses of kindness. An accident was prevented, and you say, boy, was that ever a close call? It's God's grace in your life. You have a job, you're not laid off, while everybody around you is being laid off. Why do I deserve this massive dose of kindness? Why do I have good health and not cancer like my friend or my co-worker or my neighbor? God also uses this Easter Sunday morning service today as a wake-up call. God is speaking right now through his Bible, the Word of God. He speaks truth. He is speaking to all of us, the seeker and the disciple, this Easter Sunday morning. Now I want you to look at what the guards did with their wake-up call. They profaned it. They pushed it away. And so for some of us here today, the alarm clock goes off. We reach over and turn it off and go back to sleep. God gives us a wake-up call. We turn it off. We resist. The guards were bribed with a large sum of money. What bribes do we tend to accept? Bribes that push us away from hearing God's wake-up call, that cause us to turn the alarm clock off. My pride, my self-sufficiency, I'll do it my way. I can handle it. Rationalization, we make excuses, maybe later but not now. An unforgiving, bitter spirit, something we're hiding in our lives, something we don't want to give up. But I'm happy with my life, my comfort and my convenience, the things and the hobbies that I have. Don't be bribed today by all of the amenities of life. They're going to starve your soul. Commit today to be attentive to God's wake-up call on your life. Don't resist like the guards. Surrender to Jesus. Now I want you to look at the women's reverence in stark contrast to the guards or the women. The guards and the women are the first ones at the tomb that first Easter Sunday morning. In verses 4 and 5, they're both afraid. One resists and the other reverences. On Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning today, there is, hear me, today there is no neutral ground. You are either right now moving away from Jesus or you're moving towards Him. No neutral ground. If you do nothing today with Jesus, you're moving away from Him. This Easter Sunday morning is just like the first one. There are two groups of people, the guards and the women, those who are resisting and those who are reverencing. There's no neutral ground. We're either moving towards Him or away from Him today. I want you to look at the women's response in verse 9. Look at verse 9, what it says. They came to Him. They clasped His feet and worshiped. Do you see that picture? This is an act of reverence in total surrender. Here the women come. They see the risen Lord. They bow down on their knees. They clasp His feet. They surrender and worship Him. This morning, see the risen Lord, and like these women, come and bow, clasp His feet, worship and reverence Him. It's about surrender. Let me give you another picture this morning of surrender. Would you take the little white flag that you were given as you entered the service this morning? In a little bit, as we close this service, I'm going to ask you to consider waving this flag as an act of surrender to the risen Lord. Now, what does that mean? I don't want us to meaninglessly wave this flag, but as a depth of our hearts that we've caught it today, like these women, we reverence in total surrender. What does it mean? First to the seekers here this morning, you have never trusted in Christ as your personal Savior. You have never accepted Him in your life, or you're not sure. Confess that you're a sinner and under His judgment. Believe that Jesus is the true risen Son of God and the only way to heaven, and ask Him into your heart. In our time of quiet reflection, do that. We had five adults this past week, before we got to Easter Sunday, this past week, that have done this. And I hope there will be many, many more here who accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. If you trust in Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord today, would you fill out that response card in the bulletin? After the service, take it to the yes table in the foyer. It's on the left as you exit. The yes table is saying yes to Jesus. Give it to somebody that's behind that table. We'd love to encourage your decision and give you some materials to help you. If you made that decision in the last month, would you also fill out the card and take it to the yes table? And if you're still seeking today, please feel free also to pick up the materials at the table. In fact, those materials are for anybody that wants them, that like to be encouraged in their faith. Second, this morning, there are many disciples of Jesus Christ here. You belong to Jesus. Is there anything you're holding on to? Anything that you need to surrender so that you can be obedient to Jesus? Reaffirm your surrender this Easter Sunday morning by saying, Lord, I belong to you. All of me. 100%. Maybe there's a difficulty that you're struggling with. You need to surrender it to him. A financial need. A job problem. A health need. Some other big problem. Whatever it might be, surrender it to him and claim the risen Lord's power, promise, and pathway for your need in this difficulty. Disciples, make a renewed surrender this Easter Sunday morning. I'm yours, Lord. I'm yours. 100% yours. We want to close now with the time of quiet reflection. Would you take your flag and just hold it in front of you? And would you consider what surrender means to you today? As we're quiet and reflecting, as you sit there, consider waving your flag in surrender. Perhaps you want to write your name on it in this time of quiet reflection with today's date, Easter 2003. Take the flag home, put it somewhere that you can see it every day to remind you that you belong to the risen Lord. I have one of these flags in my bedroom. I've had it there for several years. I see it every morning when I get up. This Easter Sunday morning, we're either moving towards God or moving away from him. And our call today is, would you surrender to the risen Lord? So let's bow our heads, every one of us here this morning. Would you open your heart? Would you take your white flag? And would you hear God's call to surrender? What does that mean for you today? Easter 2003 is about surrender, movement towards God, not resisting and moving away. Lord, we didn't show up today just to be here. We came here today to surrender, to give our lives to you, to hear your voice, to be responsive. Lord, like those women today, we bow, we clasp your feet. We worship and reverence you in total surrender. Risen Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world.